Connacht was probably one of the easier times that I had, to be honest with you. Thoroughly enjoyed it. But as we've just seen with Graham, it's a tenuous position, and just like that, you can be gone.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Well, it finished 4-1 to Tottenham Hotspur at their home ground against Aston Villa after going 1-0 down at half before half time. A sensational second half performance from Tottenham, Brian. It looked like Aston Villa were in full control of the game with that 1-0 lead. How did Aston Villa manage to, did they throw it away, or was it more Tottenham winning that game?
I feel it was a Tottenham performance. I mean, they upped their game from half time on. Son on the left hand side, beautiful ball in for Brennan Johnson to get the breakthrough goal, because they didn't make any clear cut chances in that first half. I said that they weren't getting in behind the Villa defence at all. Solanke was having no joy against the centre back pairing, but once they got the breakthrough goal, it seemed to inspire them to different levels of attack and play, and they moved the ball around much more confidence, and the technical ability of Sarr and Kulusevski, Brennan Johnson and Solanke came to the fore. Son had to go off injured, Rickarlison come on, Subban had an impact when he came on, but it was a really, really good second half performance. And they have that in them, Spurs. I pointed out to you that they'd gone behind in 11 of the last 13 home games, and they'd managed to come back and win 7. That's 8 out of 12. That's good, because normally team gets the first goal in the match usually wins the match, or they end up at worst getting a draw. Not too often teams come back in the Premier League and win from behind. So it was a very good, excellent second half performance. Did Villa throw it away? I wouldn't say throw it away. They were just overpowered by Spurs' quality, I think, in the second half.
Just looking at the Tottenham players individually, Solanke maybe in particular, because I did mention, of course, he only had 2 Premier League goals so far this season. He's got 4 now. But obviously you made the very relevant point that he's not really an out-and-out striker for Tottenham, but will those 2 goals maybe do something for his confidence as well?
Without a shadow of a doubt. They were major goals, important goals, the second and third goal in the match, and the quality of them will give him so much confidence. I mean, the finish on the second goal to give them the lead was, I mean, there's a risk in taking a chip. If Martinez had stayed up on his feet, you're chipping it into his hands. The delicacy and the quality of that technique was sensational. I think it'll be the goal of this weekend across the Premier League, and the build up play around it, and Sarr's pass, Kulusevski's pass, it was just fantastic. I think so, but I think I did mention during the commentary his work rate and his effort. I think that was one of the reasons they signed him. They looked at the stats and the figures and the numbers in terms of his ability to retrieve the ball and his number of sprints he makes in terms of closing down defenders, chasing the goalkeeper. He often sells himself by doing that, because not always enough of the backup players are behind him, and he knows that making the run is often a forlorn task. You're making that run to the goalkeeper and he plays it by you to the centre half and you have to run back again. But that's part of the honesty of his game that I think Spurs fans have a lot of time for him, and would be delighted to see him getting a couple of goals. 2 goals, nice, neat, tidy finish. Almost got the one that Johnson got, the equalising goal too. So big boost for his confidence and for his kind of his feeling within the group as well. Because when you bought for big money like he was from Bournemouth, your role is to score goals. If you're signed as a centre forward, as the main man, the other stuff are add-ons. People don't look at that with the same beady eye. They look at the stats and say, you said 2 goals and whatever, 7 games so far this season that he's played, but now he's got 4 and 8, and it looks, you know, he's scored in 50% of the matches, and you go into the next match thinking, I can score again here.
Yeah, he'll fancy himself against Ipswich Town, no doubt. Just a couple of injuries again for Tottenham to worry about. Richarlison went off, Christian Romero went off, they're already missing Mickey van de Ven, so he'll need to get those players back after the international break, especially with a game against Manchester City.
It's probably
City
good that they're injured before the international break and they won't be gone. The manager, you know, they'll be able to say to the international teams, sorry, he's not available, he's injured. Now the international managers can insist on them travelling and coming in and for their medical staff to look at them, but I don't think they will in this case. The one with Son would be interesting to see whether he goes out to Korea deal, because Spurs are obviously minding him today, and I think the Spurs might play hardball on him and say, look, the stats you pointed out that he'd missed a couple, come back for one, missed a couple again. Are they going to let him go and play in Korea? And Korea, he usually plays every game. So it might be good that they're injured and they can't go and play in the internationals. Get 2 weeks of work on recovery. I don't think any of them are too far away. I don't think Romero, unless he broke a bone in his foot, took off his boot. I wouldn't say they were very serious looking injuries, but it is concerning. Richarlison's one didn't look good. Pulls a hamstring, has played very little this season. Looked like he damaged the hamstring. Made a great contribution while he was on the pitch, but that is worrying for Spurs. And their options aren't fantastic. You know, when you go back after what they put on the pitch today and having to use young Archie Gray, because that Bergal is the young Swedish player who's a good player. And they didn't use him at all today. So they do have a couple of other options, but they've not got the deepest of squads.
Well, just on that as well, quickly, Papasar and Kulusevski, those two players have really stood up for Tottenham this season, haven't they? They've been excellent.
Yeah, Kulusevski's always looked a good player since he's come in from Juventus.
Sorry, I should have said more, like he's kind of playing a different role maybe.
Yeah, he's playing more as the 10 position now than playing the wide. He's played wide right and wide left. Son usually on the left, mostly him on the right. When Harry Kane was there, it was, you know, Harry Kane's in the middle, Kulusevski at right, Sarr on the left. And since Madison's come in, Madison's floated about in the middle. It's been a three in the middle with Kulusevski, Madison, and one of the midfield players, generally Bentancur is the one that's played, but he's gone for two sitters now, giving them a little bit more protection in midfield, and they were very good today. Sarr was good. I've liked him. I'd like to see him getting more time on the pitch, and he's Basuna as well. I think he's a very good player. But the Spurs' problems, it's not about control in the middle field. It's about control in defence. It's about being resilient defensively. I think there's too much expected of the midfield players and the centre halves. I think there's an overemphasis on getting players into the box, in the opposition's box, and leaving yourself short of the counter. And I think a lot of teams playing against Spurs saying, we'll be up against it here today, but we get chances. They'll give you a chance, and that's how it is. But today they were wonderful in the second half.
Would you have concerns now about Aston Villa, because they had a strong team out today, a strong bench, and they've had a couple of bad results now, knocked out of the League Cup by Crystal Palace, albeit with 10 changes to that team. They dropped points to Bournemouth, they've been hammered today against Spurs, and now they have to worry about going away against Brugge in the Champions League and then away to Liverpool before the break.
Well, they've got an exceptional manager who's seen it all since he's come in. He's done a superb job. They've won the three games in the Champions League. They're up there at the top of the table, the 36 team table at the moment. So they can afford to go to Brugge, and you know, if they scrap out a point, that'll be fine for them. It'll keep them well in contention to finish in the top eight, which will be what they're at. Carabao Cup, not an issue for them at all. I'd say they're not upset about going out of that competition. Their priority would be Premier League and Champions League. That's where the money rolls in from. Disappointing result, okay, today, without a doubt, last week, dropped points to Bournemouth. But I don't think they were ever going to win the league. Realistically, it would be about trying to make the top four again. And I think they'll be still in the challenge for that. You look at who else is going to be in there. You know, you're saying, well, Manchester City, Liverpool will certainly be there. Chelsea are in and around it. Arsenal would be in and around it. But you'd have to put Villa there. Spurs might get back into it. But I think Aston Villa are more consistent team home and away than Tottenham are, so I think Villa are more likely to make the top four than Tottenham are, even though Tottenham beat them 4-1 today. Manager is a very experienced manager. He'll identify what the problems were today. Some of them, they made their own mistakes. Pau Torres pass in the midfield was intercepted, and then injuries probably upset them a little today. Marvin Rodgers and so on, a couple of other injuries they had during the game.
Matty Cash as well, yeah.
Matty Cash in right back position, they didn't recover from that. But I think the manager has far too much experience, and he's got a good squad there. I think they'll come back, they'll knuckle down. You pointed out the games away to Liverpool, tough match, but they're capable of going to Liverpool and winning that game.
Just to finish, Brian, on Arsenal, a 1-0 defeat for them against Newcastle, a team that could match them physically. We know Arsenal have been out without their playmaker and their captain, Martin Odegaard. It seems after maybe surviving without him for a number of games that maybe his absence is really starting to show now, that they don't seem to be able to unlock defences as well as they could do. Maybe helped yesterday by Man City's defeat to Bournemouth as a bit of a surprise result.
Yeah.
So that keeps them... Not too far away. Yeah, I think it's mad to be talking about 10 games, kind of, they're out of the title race, but City have shown the last couple of seasons you really can't afford to drop too many points.
Well, it looks like City... Sometimes it looks like they might drop more points than they did the previous season. And you kind of say that after yesterday they've dropped... What have they dropped now? They've dropped 8 points this season. But you're kind of looking at them saying... But it's usually as the season goes on, they don't go on these big long runs without dropping any points. So, you know, it does keep the others in touch a bit. Liverpool obviously ahead at the moment. But Arsenal, last week, they would have been disappointed to lose the game to Liverpool. But not in the way the game ran. Liverpool took over in the second half. Arsenal were in control for most of the game. The Ben White one was interesting that they didn't start him yesterday and started Partey at right back. Then ended up bringing on Ben White and Partey in the middle of the field. But they did, created very few chances yesterday. Only clear-cut chance in the match was the last ball to the far post for Rice, the header, and he probably came in onto a little bit too early and put it into the side net. And other than that, they didn't make made very few clear cut chances. Jesus had very little influence on when they come on. So I think they're missing some of those injured players. Timber, it looked like they had a very good team on the pitch yesterday, but Newcastle were at it and gave them lots of trouble. And as you said, they kind of out muscled Arsenal a bit, which is unusual. That's the type of game Arsenal usually out muscle all the other teams with the physicality and the size of the players they had, but they hadn't got enough yesterday, and they are missing Odegaard and maybe those niggles that some of the players are carrying. But you look at the back four yesterday and say, look solid, Partey, the two regulars, the centre halves, and the left back Timber there. So, but maybe they were carrying injuries from match last week, so it's a little tricky spell for them. They might be happy at the break with the international stuff, but then you come back after the break and you hope the fellas that were away on international duty come back in the right frame of mind and the right physical condition, which is not always the case. So it is a little worrying spell for Arsenal, but they've a lot of quality there too.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Stephen.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.